The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said that to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gifts at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that if everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in her or his heart, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said also, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The band, in their resplendent red uniforms, struck up a tune on that October day. Thousands were lined to hear them, some joyfully, others not so. And the tune they chose to play was "The World Turned Upside Down." The occasion took place in Yorktown, Virginia, where some 7,000 to 8,000 British troops under General Cornwallis prepared to surrender to the now triumphant colonials and their French allies under the command of General George Washington. Within 2 years, a treaty with Great Britain recognized the independence of these United States. And so it is that we celebrate Washington's birthday tomorrow. And let's not forget Abraham Lincoln, whose birthday was last Wednesday. For these two presidents stand out in our history one for gaining independence and serving as our first president, and the other as our 16th president, preserved the Union in the bloodiest war in our history and brought an end to the slavery that marred the nation from its inception. We see portraits every day on our $1 and $5 bills. This time of year, their transformation into automobile salesmen should not obscure or trivialize their greatness as leaders of this nation. The world was turned upside down with the founding of the United States, founded as a republic with no royalty or aristocratic ruling class. And when the new nation finally got around to writing a constitution a few years later, they took the extraordinary step of separating church and state and making no religious test for holding office. Most of the population then and for some time was Christian, and politicians often cited God in their speech, and none more eloquently than President Lincoln as he concluded the Gettysburg Address, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, and by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Now, the distance from the fields of Yorktown and Lincoln's stirring and somber words at Gettysburg to the words of today's scripture is not so great. Paul's address to the Christians in Corinth also speak of deep divisions among the Christian people, and the need to overcome them to achieve what he called a common purpose. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God, God's field, God's building. Washington had the daunting task of binding the wounds of the war that not only was a struggle against England, but a civil war between patriots and loyalists. Lincoln's challenge was even greater in what we call the Civil War, that still had 18 bloody months before Lee's surrender to Grant at Appomattox Courthouse. Paul knew that the good news of Jesus Christ could not penetrate the Gentile world unless Christians could overcome their divisions. And that challenge is still with us today. Jesus' own words in Matthew were certainly turning the world upside down with seemingly impossible demands. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder." But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you shall be liable to judgment. He continues that any insult or grudge with others demands that you seek reconciliation immediately or face God's condemnation. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery," but Jesus says looking upon someone with lust is just as sinful. If your right hand causes sin, better to cut it off than to end up in hell. And you men are no longer to dismiss a wife with a certificate of divorce. And so it goes with what are commonly called these hard sayings of Jesus. They are harsh words, yet they are consistent with the revolutionary message of God's love for all his creation and all his creatures, that we are called to live lives informed by compassion and concern for others, for all of our neighbors. It is indeed the world turned upside down. We do not take these words literally. Christians should not be dismembering themselves. But Jesus knew how to get our attention. He is challenging our notions of right and wrong, challenging how we relate to each other, challenging us in ways that turn the world upside down, turning upside down the conventions of his day and ours. There is a certain irony to our current situation. The age of the American Revolution and the writing of the Constitution were not particularly religious. Church members were a minority of the population. Many of the founding fathers were deists, skeptical of Christian revelation. And that's why it's no surprise that there's no mention of God in the Constitution, no religious test for holding office, and the First Amendment declares that there'll be no established church on a federal level. And there were many who wanted to get God into those documents, but they were rebuffed. So the result, to the surprise of many and maybe the consternation of some, was a flourishing of churches that could organize freely, compete with one another, and become vital, voluntary organizations as the country grew in population and spread geographically. So what might all this mean on this President's Day in 2020 for us as Americans and Christians? Now, I do fear that some of you are quoting to yourselves a line in the Gettysburg Address that you might think applies to this and many sermons. Lincoln said, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say here." Well, maybe so. But let us rejoice on the eve of this national holiday in the precious freedom we enjoy, thanks especially for our freedom to worship. Seems to me America is not so much a promised land as a land of promises, not always fully realized, but always before us. We dare to declare that all people are created equal, that all citizens have a right to practice their faith or not, that we all have a right to a free press, the right to assemble for political or religious or other purposes, and that our government is meant to serve the people, not to dominate them. But at the same time, we must guard against worshiping our nation, believing in our country, right or wrong. America is better seen as a great opportunity rather than as an idol to worship. Whenever we are tempted to think God is on our side, remember something else that Lincoln said during the darkest days of the Civil War. "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God always is right." In Matthew's Gospel, just a few verses before today's reading begins, Jesus says, "Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And that is just what he does in the Gospel for today. Yes, there is the law. There are the commandments, all the rules, but he calls upon us to internalize them, to make them part of the fabric of our belief and practice and behavior in our relationships one to another. This is the path to reconciliation with one another, of respect and love for one another, and the path to building a community of faith that can bring light and life to this great land of ours. Paul is right in telling us to overcome our petty differences. For you are God's servants. You are God's working together. You are God's building. So enjoy the holiday and rejoice in the fact that we live in a country and worship in a church that have both turned the world upside down. Amen.